to me. Oh, oh, I despise.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel. This is a special presentation, an in-depth, original investigative reporting piece. Wikipedia, Our New Technological McCarthyism, Part 2. In Part 1, yesterday, we discussed the threats social media technology poses to a healthy and educated populace, the scientist cult of skepticism and its extremist medical wing, and the online encyclopedia Wikipedia are a leading promulgator of skepticism agenda. Today, we will go deeper into science-based medicine's faction. It was W. Somerset Maugham who said it is dangerous to let the public behind the scenes. They are easily disillusioned, and then they're angry with you, for it was the illusion they loved. Virtually all 900,000-plus physicians, all the nurses, hospitals, scientists, several million individuals all working towards the public good. We had the most expensive healthcare system in history. This year, we will spend nearly $3.3 trillion on healthcare. You would think that if we're spending more than any other country in the world, that we should have some of the best outcomes. We are at the bottom of the list of industrialized nations when it comes to having a healthy outcome for all the money spent in all the doctors, hospitals, medications. And yet the average person is confused. We're told that we would not be given a medical procedure if it had not been proven by a gold standard double-blind placebo-controlled study as being efficacious and safe. We are told that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is there to protect our interest, as is the CDC, the U.S. Public Health Service, the National Cancer Institute, the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease, the National Institute for Mental Health, all these falling under the umbrella of the U.S. Public Health Service. We are told that if something were bad, it would be identified before it got to us and prevented from entering our bodies or environment. We are also told that if something should sneak through, it will quickly be identified and be taken out. These are all illusions. None of this is true. We have what we call evidence-based medicine, which means that the evidence supports that something is safe and effective. Now we have a competing group called science-based medicine that says, let's make sure that it's strictly science that is determining all of our realities, and nothing else matters. So if you believe that body-mind medicine works, or acupuncture, or traditional Chinese medicine, or Indian Ayurvedic medicine, if you believe that herbs are beneficial, that taking your vitamins is important, eating organic food is a step up from genetically modified foods, if you believe that a homeopath, a naturopath, a holistic medical doctor could help you more than a regular doctor, then we are led to believe by science-based medicine that you're delusional. If you believe that prayer has any meaning in the healing process or preventative process, then you're extremely delusional. Because science-based medicine says none of this is true. This is all quackery. So you would assume with the power they have to be quoted in the New York Times regularly, even Consumer Report has used the quackbusters as their authoritative sages when it comes to chiropractic, and yet none of the quackbusters were chiropractors, had ever been to their school, reviewed their curriculum, or done any detailed analysis of the actual science behind chiropractic, but they're absolutely sure that it's an unscientific cult, so sure that the American Medical Association for more than 25 years had a secret department of investigations in the basement of the AMA headquarters where they engaged in illegal activities. They sought to make sure that the federal government, under its insurance programs did not cover this unscientific cult. That's what they called it. It was so effective that it became almost impossible for chiropractors to practice. They were withering and dying on the vine, and that was the intent. But one day, someone dropped off at my apartment a large envelope with no disclosure on it of who it came from, and in it were secret documents purloined from the bowels of the AMA headquarters that showed a conspiracy, a massive conspiracy, not just against chiropractic, but that was the focus, but it also went against any other type of alternative therapy. I continued to receive these over a period of several months. After doing careful analysis and review and investigation, I determined they were accurate. I wrote a series of articles about the effort to destroy chiropractic. My original material was given to a series of chiropractors along with an investigative journalist named Joe Lisa. From those reports, lawsuits were filed. It became the most important medical case in American history. It was a restraint of trade violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act. And at the end, the AMA and the 11 largest medical organizations in America, the cream de la cream, were all found guilty. Not only were they found guilty at the lower court, but every court they went, including the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, found them guilty. As a result, they could no longer define chiropractic as an unscientific cult. But at the very moment when they were told to close up their Department of Investigation, that chiropractic was a legitimate healing science, then the papers that were in their vaults, in their research rooms for those decades, were sent to individuals who would later be identified as quackbusters. They carried on the effort. So today, guess who has the power to determine whether or not something is legitimate when it comes to a healing modality? It is these science-based medicine, so-called experts. So the question is, if they're an expert and they're there to give us evidence against chiropractic or homeopathy or Ayurvedic medicine or vitamin C drips, then they must have been taught that. They must have gone through extensive teachings. No, none. Well, they must have interviewed a lot of patients. None. So how do they become experts? And why should we believe them? And it's not the individual, we'll call them skeptics, that are the major concern, because it is my personal belief that no matter what evidence they are presented with, they will simply dismiss it out of hand. But it's the form that they use, where hundreds of millions of people have used Wikipedia. Google any topic, and almost always you're taken to Wikipedia. That is not to suggest that Wikipedia does not dispense with some quality information in most areas. It does. But not when it comes to health, nutrition, alternative medicines, or these other healing modalities. So then, what if you're told that it's just quackery, don't pursue it? Don't go any further. Can these people be held morally accountable or even legally accountable for dispensing advice to attack a modality that could have saved someone's life? And why is it these individuals have not taken on that which does not work and is known to be deadly? It is not even a matter of contention. The American Medical Association, in its own journal, has so stated that the number three cause of death, of all death causes, is iatrogenesis, or medically induced. Your doctor helps kill you. And what about all the failed medical procedures that were put into the public arena for decades, having maimed and killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, and still allowed, without any criticism? Such as synthetic hormone replacement therapy, cyclamates, Agent Orange, saccharin, glyphosate, DDT, Vioxx, and at least 100 other commonly used chemicals either in the environment or in our bodies. Where's their criticism of that? They will spend an inordinate amount of time criticizing a holistic doctor, a doctor who is board certified in their field, who then decides at some moment in life, through that clarion call, that the tools they have been given in their traditional training were not enough to help the patients. So they go one step beyond that. They re-educate themselves. And for that re-education of starting over an effect, whether it's with the heart or with, let's say, the liver or the kidneys or the brain, and they're getting results they never got in their earlier career of using just orthodox tools. They've expanded the protocol. They still could use those if they chose, but more often than not, they don't. And now one day they're seeing their patients actually reverse diabetes, reverse arthritis, reverse heart disease. Instead of being rewarded with acknowledgement and brought forward with new curriculums to be added to the existing curriculum in medical schools, they're first warned, then threatened, then their reputations are destroyed. Whether it's Linus Pauling for his advocacy of vitamin C, or others who have done great work showing that a plant-based diet can reverse disease. These people are shunned or demeaned. Now that's rather ironic. No one goes out to Sloan Kettering each day and pickets saying, why don't you apologize for all the patients who you toe-tagged who gave you 100% of their trust and died in the process. We do not shame, nor do we advocate shaming doctors who did what they could, did the best they could, but maybe they didn't look in the right places for the modality. We reward people in America for failing in medicine, but those who succeed using non-toxic, non-invasive therapies, we punish. Why? It goes against all reason and common sense. But I forgot, reason and common sense are not scientifically based, nor is the value of your belief. And therein is part of the rub. And that brings us to what happens when science-based medicine is a recent splinter faction. It's a breakaway group from the evidence-based medicine. And evidence-based medicine is often recognized as one of the great advances in modern medicine to emerge during the 20th century. Although science-based medicine endorses evidence-based medicine premises and principle, it also regards it as incomplete. Consequently, science-based medicine blatantly hails itself as the future paradigm for evaluating medical science and recommending best practices and treatments. First posited as a new and precise methodology for evaluating medical research in 1993, evidence-based medicine has rapidly become the dominant statistical and clinical model for developing healthcare strategies in clinical settings. It is also the most prevalent theory in use today for determining the accuracy of peer-reviewed journal articles and clinical trials and medical claims to improve healthcare decisions. According to the British Medical Journal, evidence-based medicine is now, quote, the new paradigm for teaching and practicing clinical medicine, end quote. The renowned Cochrane Data Collaboration, that's a network of 37,000 professors and doctors and researchers from over 130 countries, is one of evidence-based medicine's more successful contributions. Cochrane performs meta-analysis on existing scientific literature for pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines and supplemental products alike to determine the credibility of their health claims. But here's where it gets confusing, because medical journals increasingly fail to maintain high standards for the research published. Prestigious journals such as the New England Journal of Medicine have even criticized their own publication for publishing scientifically invalid research funded by drug companies and professional associations biased towards the pharmaceutical products they develop and promote. Medical journals are also riddled with authorship violations of ghostwriting, which are threatening the integrity of reliable medical literature. Science-based medicine physicians would seem to be fully endorsing these practices. So here we have two competing schools, evidence-based medicine, science-based medicine. They both support the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry number 5. In there are hundreds upon hundreds of conditions that have never once been proven by any objective scientific standard to actually exist. They vote upon a disease, a show of hands, and then based upon the vote, they then say, so it is, so it will be. If you maintain, for example, an excessive interest in your health, then that is a mental illness, clearly due to a brain chemical imbalance. If you are defiant against authority, if you're defiant against your parents or a school teacher, that's a defiance disorder. Therefore, that's a disease. It is given a code. It is then given over to this psychiatric community to make sure that the person is given the full spectrum of treatment. The treatments have never cured a single solitary person, not one. It is all smoke and mirrors. So how accurate is anything in the entire field of mental health when they've never proven that they can diagnose depression or anxiety by brain chemical imbalance test? No such tests exist. It is all subjective. Hold on. Subjective personal opinion is anathema to science-based medicine, evidence-based medicine. You're not allowed to have a personal opinion. That's purely subjective anecdotal. Therefore, the contradiction, the hypocrisy, the rank hypocrisy, the gross hypocrisy of all of medicine is that almost all of it is based upon subjective criteria. And yet it calls itself science-based or evidence-based. Neither are accurate. And so here we have 37,000 professors, doctors, and researchers from 130 countries. And it's one of evidence-based medicine's more successful contributions. And they perform all these analyses, and they're finding that, wow, most of what we're seeing in these medical journals is not accurate. For example, science-based medicine proponents give full weight in support of biased studies promoting selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or the SSRIs, drugs for treating anxiety and depression, against the large body of research indicating their ineffectiveness and serious adverse effects, including suicidal ideation and actual suicide. In fact, in one study, a very detailed study, a sugar pill was found to be as effective, but of course with no side effects, as the drug. So why wasn't that challenged? The research of drugs treating clinical depression were so poor, so abysmal, such failures that the Journal of the American Medical Association launched a policy to refuse any industry-sponsored submission unless all the trial's original data could be reviewed by independent non-pharmaceutical industry editors. Consequently, by identifying such problems and falsehoods, the Cochrane is today's important watchdog for targeting bogus pharmaceutical research and for separating reliable clinical science from junk science. And most of medical science is junk science. Do they tell you how much radiation you're getting with a CAT scan? Do they tell you how much radiation you're getting from a cell phone, from your computer, from electromagnetic pulses hitting the body, the brain? No. Are there studies showing that there are damage to this? Yes. How many? Over 50. Why isn't the public made aware of this? Why is the public not made aware of all the nutrition journals that have published articles in support of sugar or caffeine or the standard American diet? Show me the studies that say that eating meat, and especially processed meats, are going to allow you to live a longer life, have a healthier heart, cleaner arteries, and better digestion. Oh, there are no studies. But how many studies exist, independent studies, not done by the meat industry, that show that eating meat can shorten your lifespan and cause an increase in cancer of the prostate, breast, and uterus? Dozens. So everything that is considered quackery, an organic plant-based diet, has thousands of studies to support its efficacy and safety, and everything supporting the standard American lifestyle has been shown to be damaging with no scientific support. So why haven't we changed? Where are these quackbusters? Where are these skeptics in criticizing what we use every day, our knives and forks and glasses, filling our body with toxins that are known to be disadvantageous to our well-being? And I can show you thousands of studies on the benefit of a healthy lifestyle. Let them show you thousands of studies on taking glyphosate, genetically modified foods, and helping you. They can't. Those studies don't exist. So you see, there's a battle over who to trust, whose studies are reliable. Here's the game. A pharmaceutical industry can do 100 studies on a drug, and let's say 99 of those studies show adverse effects. Not only does it not work, it makes it worse, but one study they can squeeze out some way of manipulating the data. Then all they have to present to the FDA is that one study. We'll never know about the 99 studies that failed. That's the danger that we're dealing with. Evidence-based medicine also has its detractors within the conventional medical community. Most evidence-based medicine studies rely exclusively on data collection and epidemiological research and statistical analysis. It may be noted that evidence-based medicine ascendancy parallels the rise of the information age and the Internet, and follows the idea that gathering and processing huge amounts of data can be a weapon, regardless of whether it is to leverage a political party or to find the best strategy to treat a life-threatening disease. For example, Paul Offit habitually references 14 evidence-based medicine studies that have become the CDC's and pro-vaccine lobby's gospel to discredit an association between vaccines and autism. However, each study is limited to epidemiological and population data analysis. None, I repeat, none of these studies used by the CDC and the pro-vaccine movement meet the gold standard criteria for a double-blind, authentic placebo-controlled trial, which is the most reliable criteria for decisive evidence about a vaccine efficacy and safety. And this is another one of evidence-based medicine's failures, inflating epidemiological results and assigning with an equal level of certainty as a gold standard in biological clinical trial. After all you have to do is go on television and say, vaccines are safe and anyone who suggests otherwise is a danger to the community. And if you say, and there are at least X number of studies to support this, who's going to take the time to actually look at those studies to see whether or not you're right or wrong? Your mere appearance on a major network or cable show lends credibility to you that someone who's just a mother who had a vaccine-injured child will never receive. Another crucial criticism is that evidence-based medicine has been misappropriated by private commercial interest, and particularly the drug companies and their cohorts in the CDC and the FDA. Oh, and did I mention that those scientists sitting on panels at the CDC and the FDA, the majority of those people have direct conflicts of interest from drug companies, either through honorarium, research grants, sharing in patent royalties. So how can you possibly expect someone who has a gross conflict of interest to weigh in on an issue without their own financial interests coming at the top of their interest? Overall, we have to see that there's an enormous amount of pressure to see that we are not regulated the right way. Dr. Tricia Greenhow at the London School of Medicine wrote an essay for the British Medical Journal called Evidence-Based Medicine of Movement in Crisis, noting that evidence-based medicine was unable to adequately detect the biases in pharmaceutical industry-sponsored studies. Overall, she felt that after 20 years, evidence-based medicine only made marginal gains. This is a subject requiring greater investigation because it is our observation that there may be a strong correlation between healthcare's overall reliance upon evidence-based medicine guidelines for treating disease and the continual increase in cases of iatrogenic injuries and death due to medical intervention. Iatrogenic medical error is now not the third leading cause of mortality in the United States. It is number one, and we have proven that, published the results, and shared that with the entire medical community. If we follow science-based medicine, scientific reasoning, it is plausible that a lot of people are dying using orthodox medicine. In our opinion, evidence-based medicine suffers from a mistaken uniformity, a cacophony of conflicting research data and false conclusions. Furthermore, it is too often failing in its attempts to advance efficient and safe medical interventions, including alternative medical findings and actual clinical practice within the medical community. And due to evidence-based medicine shortcomings, an extreme group who earlier advocated for evidence-based medicine emerged, the Society for Science-Based Medicine, founded by Yale neuroscientist. And it was launched to advocate for a reductionistic scientific rationality, founded upon skepticism's principles. In 2009, the Society launched its Institute for Science and Medicine, a nonprofit organization with a mission to influence public health policies and establish standards based upon its medical determinism at the exclusion of virtually all other medical options that the Institute criticizes. So high on the Society and Institute's priority list is the condemnation of all complementary and alternative medicine, which is today offered in most university medical schools. It also accuses naturopathy, homeopathy, massage, chiropractic, and nutritional medicine, including supplements, and virtually all faith-based and mind-body healing modalities of quackery. And yet, you realize there are studies that show, quality studies, that show that prayer actually influenced the outcome of disease. That meditation, de-stressing, relaxation, yoga are important. Not a few studies. Dozens. I remember once doing a debate back in the 1970s. And the topic was Oriental medicine. And they chose one topic, ginseng. And I contacted the FDA, and I was curious what their position was, and they said there's no evidence of its efficacy or safety. Had I stopped there, I would have felt, well, there was no basis of science. It was purely subjective. But then I looked at the Chinese Academy of Sciences, equivalent to our National Academy of Sciences, and as the world's leading researcher on herbs, especially ginseng, they had over 5,000 studies. I then checked with the Japanese Academy of Sciences and found they had thousands of studies. So I published all these studies out. It was two huge volumes, about a foot thick each. And I took them to the debate. And a simple question was, is there any evidence? And the opponent says, no, there's no evidence, just quackery. And I said, well, there's 7,000 studies that I have here, all published in respected journals, showing that it works. The fact that we haven't done the science doesn't mean that there's not good science done around the world. I said, think of the conceit, think of the narcissism, that you do not have any good scientists or any good physicians in France, Germany, Great Britain, Sweden, Switzerland, Japan, China, Italy, Israel. No place in the world has any good science, only the United States. So you're assuming that if we don't do something here, it's not been done or couldn't be done. And yet all over the world, people are living longer lives, are healthier, and do not suffer the same degree of disease we do, nor do they take all the medications, nor do they have excessive medical interventions based upon a rigid and completely outdated medical model. Science-based medicine can also be understood as a symptom of a society's addiction to technology. I noted earlier that science-based medicine operates primarily in the cyber spheres rather than laboratories and professional clinical settings. Richard Stevers, a distinguished sociology professor at Illinois State University, documents the pathologies of a technological society. According to him, our modern, quote, technological civilization makes no effort to promote or encourage a moral community. In fact, he believes the entire social media environment built upon modern technology and social platforms is mentally debilitating and contributing to our culture's disease. After reading science-based medicine articles and its litany of diatribes and condemnations about everything science-based medicine abhors, one readily observes the depth of this cult's paranoia and intolerance. The skeptic organizations are remarkably efficient in the dissemination of their worldview, and wherever one finds criticisms about alternative health and natural medicine, you will absolutely find science-based articles and its predecessor Quackwatch websites being cited. During our own interactions with MediaWiki's legal department, Wikipedia administrators acknowledge Quackwatch is a reliable reference for editing pages. As an aside, Quackwatch's founder and skeptic, Dr. Stephen Barrett, has been slapped with many lawsuits for his practices. In one California trial, it was revealed that Barrett had failed his board certification exams, but was still hanging out a shingle for his psychiatric practice. None of this will be found on his Wikipedia page, although many attempts have been made. Barrett's Wikipedia personality is completely safeguarded by skepticism's individuals. Science-based medicine is strictly a community of university professors and medical doctors. Very few have the luxury to spend hours of day reading to see what people are actually doing that allows them to have an objective, honest profile on Wikipedia. And if you should take note that you have something inaccurate and you're in the health field, now try to have it changed. Nor do most of them have the technological computer skills to succeed in changing anything. The MediaWiki Foundation has few professional paid editors on staff, although its employees function as administrators to handle the more vicious wiki wars. Instead, it seeks and welcomes outside organizations and groups to recruit contributors, quote, to work together as a team to improve Wikipedia. Really? On her personal Wikipedia biography entry, a woman named Gerbic is quoted as saying, "We rewrite Wikipedia, improve the pages. We remove citations that are not noteworthy. We add citations. We do just about everything in Wikipedia to improve content," end quote. Do you? Could have fooled me, because one group that has received Wikipedia's full support and swallowed Stephen Dawkins' militant atheism whole with steroids is Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia. So here we have a group called Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, actively seeking out and training recruits to serve as an army of skeptical editors to wage wicked wars against those who research or advocate alternative medical treatment modalities. These are the most active of Wikipedia's independent advocates, editing alternative medicine's content and pages critical of conventional drugs. But what do you know about this woman and her guerrilla skepticism? And just think with common sense only for a moment. Let's say that you're a twice-winning Nobel Prize winner, the only unshared Nobel Prize twice, Dr. Linus Pauling, and one of America's greatest chemists, over 420 articles published in the peer-reviewed journal, outstanding career, until he began to look at the science behind vitamin C and saw what it was doing, and saw that it could do a lot more in helping with disease, and specifically cancer. Then he was attacked. He was attacked by the quackbusters. He was attacked by the skeptics. So let's say that you have a profile of Linus Pauling, but he didn't write it. The skeptics wrote it. So he reads it, and he says, this is inaccurate. So he goes through the motions and tries to get it corrected, and they won't correct it. And you're sitting in a position of judgment? So I'm curious. Please explain to us, so we can know, because we are doing a greater investigation and an upcoming report is just on two of the individuals I've just mentioned. Exactly where did you get your doctorate in biochemistry or your degree in nutrition or your degree in environmental medicine or your degree in any of these topics that you and your equally unqualified academic friends claim to be experts? So you're editing real experts' papers that they're not allowed to edit, even though you claim that they are, but we'll get to that game in a moment. What you say to the public and what actually happens with Wikipedia can be diametrically opposite. So, here we have Gerbic. More on her, I promise you, coming up real in-depth. Because it's important you know who these people are, because you would never know they exist. You would never know these skeptic organizations inside of Wikipedia exist. You would never know what their body politics are. You would never know what their prejudices are. All you know is, you want to look up homeopathy? No, quackery. Chinese medicine, quackery. Herbs, quackery. Vitamins, quackery. Organic, quackery. And it stops there. So when you say on your own Wikipedia biography entry, quote, you rewrite Wikipedia and proof the pages, we remove citations that are not noteworthy. By what determination is noteworthy? You are adding citations from which sources? Of course, the majority of their notable citations reference back to skeptic and science-based medicine sources. So-called improvements are solely aligned with skepticism's doctrine. Gerbic's other organization, Skeptic Action, is another stealth guerrilla operation to disseminate cyber tasks for skeptic trolls on Twitter and Facebook and Google to rapidly rate pages such as books listed on Amazon that question vaccines and homeopathy and natural cancer treatments. Skeptic Action also uses Community Drive system, which enables members to receive rapid alerts to rebut content posted on the Internet. In April 2017, Wells launched his new Wiki Tribune. The new wiki is supposed to combat fake news. What could possibly go wrong there? Wells stated that the project, quote, will be the first time that professional journalists and citizen journalists will work side by side as equals, writing stories as they happen, end quote. He doesn't explain or provide information about who qualifies as reliable professional journalist. Will it be more uninformed writers, hacks, promoting drug-based medicine, more shill journalists covering up for the sins of big agricultural companies? And the term citizen journalist, what exactly does that mean for you? What will be their qualifying expertise? Will there be any vetting? Because otherwise you could be plagued with a group of individuals who have their own biases, and they're going to bring those biases into what they write about. So what if you're Chris Hedges and you're Cornel West and you're Nellie Bailey and Glenn Ford? What if you're the people who are really conscientious of everything occurring at the social and political level, and these are real social activists? Right now, they're being banned, censored, across the board. So, what will you have written about them? Because these are truly progressive-minded individuals. Would you have a catchphrase that if anyone is used the word progressive, they would be dealt with differently? Because people who support alternative lifestyle, alternative health care, they tend to be more progressive. They realize there's limitations in the existing model. There are benefits to it in emergency medicine, absolutely. But the rank and file realize they're not going to get cured of their arthritis or diabetes. They're just going to stay permanently medicated. So they want something more. So they educate themselves and they take chances. They change their diet. They change their lifestyle. So with the people who change and liberate themselves from the yoke of an orthodox healthcare ideology, will they be punished? Will they be profiled? Because right now, that's what you're doing. I think it would be interesting if the owner of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wells, if you were to, you certainly could afford it. Why don't you ask all the people who've been attacked with no ability to correct anything in the attack against them, why don't you invite them all to a conference and hear what they have to say and have what on a board posted what you've written and then allow them to deconstruct what's wrong. Would that change your mind about your system, the people you've entrusted? You see, there is imperfection galore. But does a person have the courage and strength of character to acknowledge when they have been wrong, in part or in whole? Is your encyclopedia chaotic? Is it unmanageable? Under the ruse of democratic principles and the opposition to internet censorship and intentional so, the doors are left wide open for skepticism to indoctrinate Wikipedia users to its cause. We may be reminded that the mission behind Gerbic's World Wikipedia Project is to reproduce the skeptics' English Wikipedia success on foreign language Wikipedias as well. Or has Wikipedia intentionally enabled the skeptics to be the final judges on all alternative health and medical controversies and many other subjects that skeptics despise? Could you imagine going into a court where you have no choice in selecting the judge or the jury? All you know is that you were living a quiet life and now you have been condemned. And the jury, before you say a word, holds up a sign saying, "You're guilty, you're guilty." Nothing you say or do will make you any less guilty. You say, but should I not have an opportunity to present my case? Well, you're here, so you get an opportunity. We just don't care what you have to say. Now, think of that in real terms, and that's what many on Wikipedia have found. A whole lot more information is coming to the public in depth, and we have been working on this for a long time. Let's see what the public does with it. Let's see what Congress does with it. Let's see what Special Investigation does with it. Let's see what the IRS does with it. Let's see what anyone does with it. In 2014, change.org posted a petition for Wikipedia users to stop donating to the site because the preferential treatment given to skeptics to ridicule and viciously condemn energy medicine psychology. The petition gained 11,200 signatures. In response, here's what Jimmy Wells wrote. Quote, "No, you have to be kidding me. Every single person who signed this petition needs to go back and check their premises and think harder about what it means to be honest, factual, and truthful. Wikipedia's policies around this kind of thing are exactly spot on and correct. If you can get your work published in respected, respectable journals, that is to say, if you can produce evidence through replicable scientific experiments, then Wikipedia will cover it appropriately. What we won't do is pretend that the work of lunatic charlatans is equivalent of scientific discourse. It isn't," end quote. So now you're calling people lunatic charlatans? A word taken directly from skepticism's lexicon? In this particular case, Debbie Bajda, president of the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, provided 51 peer-reviewed articles and studies, 18 of which were randomized controlled studies appearing in professional journals, including the American Psychological Association, the Journal of Clinical Psychology, the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease, Psychotherapy, Theory, Research, and Practice, and others showing positive statistical results outside of the range of chance. She commented on change.org, quote, "Every edit to the Energy Psychology Wikipedia page that attempts to reference findings from these well-respected scientific journals is summarily deleted. The American Psychological Association does not think we are lunatic charlatans. Neither does the Association of Social Work Boards, the National Board of Certified Counselors, or the National Association of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Counselors, all of which approve of the are providing continuing education to their professional members for the study of energy psychology. The Wikipedia page is out of step with existing peer-reviewed research on this topic, and opinionated, self-described skeptic editors are resisting any change," end quote. Apparently, the scientific evidence was insufficient to pass Wikipedia's administrative review. The page still defines energy medicine as, quote, pseudo-scientific belief. But there is more. But we're out of time for today. I will continue and complete our second part on another program, and then we are taking on, subject by subject, the things that they detest. Now, should we all detest them? Are these all charlatan sciences? You will see for yourself, and we will present all of the evidence from peer-reviewed journals, from double-blind placebo-controlled studies, and then challenge those who support Wikipedia. What exactly are you supporting? The curtain is being drawn back a little with each report. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you for listening. Have a nice day.